Good evening, everyone. We're going to start with a Personnel Committee meeting. Mr. Mousov, you want to come up to the lectern? Good evening. Thank you for being here. We'll start with some questions. First, do you have any personal or financial interest, either direct or indirect, with the Port Authority, or are you engaged in any capacity whereby a conflict of interest may arise?
First off, good evening, Chair Tomnick and City Councilors. I do not have any personal or financial ties to the Duluth Port Authority.
Thank you. Would you give a brief outline of your educational work experience and how your background experience will benefit in relation to the Port Authority?
Yeah. I'm going to back up and start right from the beginning. I'm a graduate of Hermantown High School, graduating in 2002. After high school, I enrolled to Lake Superior College, where I studied business, which eventually led me to opening my own business. As we all know, the challenges that came in 2007, 2008, it felt like I was shuttering my business as soon as I opened it. This is the point in the life that led me to the Union Iron Workers Apprenticeship Program with Local 512 in Hermantown. I started there as a probationary member, and then eventually getting accepted into the apprenticeship program in the fall of 2008. I then navigated my way through the three-year apprenticeship program, where I became a journey worker in 2011. From there, I gained experience working for different contractors throughout northern Minnesota and northern Wisconsin, including projects right here in our own port. This is where I first learned how crucial the port was to our region and the economic benefit it has for us. In 2013, I was asked to become an instructor to the Iron Workers Apprenticeship Program. This was an exciting time for me, as I was able to share the skills that I've learned with new men and women coming into our trade. I then continued my education, gaining skills, and I worked to become an OSHA 500 trained instructor, along with my Mine Safety and Health Administration Train the Trainer program as well. This allowed me to continue to share my knowledge with the women and men of Local 512, trying to create the most safe workforce possible. In February of 2018, I was once called upon by my peers with the Iron Workers Organization. At this time, I was appointed the Market Development Representative of the Iron Workers Local 512. I quickly settled into this new role and hit the ground running. I made a goal that the Iron Workers would be the most inclusive and inviting union in the building trades. I worked endlessly to make sure our union was a place where everyone is welcome and can benefit from it. Since this time, the effort has continued. I was appointed the business representative for our region in 2021, where it leads us today. I've continued and expanded my goal year after year, knowing that there is no real finish line. It's just work. I've continued to expand my goal and make room for growth. As many of you know, I wear many hats in our community, as many of us do. I believe every woman and man deserves a shot at a career where they can have health care for their family and a supporting wage. I am passionate about my work, and hopefully, I am hopeful to bring this same opportunity to the Duluth Seaway Port Authority.
Thank you. Can you tell us why you are interested in serving on this particular board?
Yeah, I have found the port operation to be really quite intriguing since my early days in my career working down there, learning about the economic benefits that I earlier talked about, and that it's the true heartbeat to our region. We export a lot of materials from Duluth and Superior, as we import a lot of materials from Duluth and Superior. With the expansion of the Sioux Locks coming, I am excited for the time of our port and a lot of growth. And it would be very intriguing to have the opportunity, as we all know, to help create policies where everybody can benefit from the port growth.
Thank you. Do you foresee any personal scheduling conflicts which might prevent you from attending meetings?
Looking over the current schedules of the Port Authority Board, I do not.
Okay. What do you consider your personal strengths that you would bring to the Port Authority?
I believe my strongest strength would be the experiences I have endured in this time. Sometimes I sit in a room and feel like an older person in my apprenticeship programs, but at the same time, I am a fresh 40-year-old where many of these boards and opportunities, I still feel like a younger person in these boards, along with having an open mind. You know, I've lived a lot and worked a lot of my life with taking real dignity in that we have two ears and one mouth, and working with others in a team setting to accomplish one goal.
Thank you. Are you presently serving on any other boards or commissions?
I am. As you are aware, I sit on the St. Louis County Board and represent the 5th District of St. Louis County. I also serve on Jobs for Minnesotans, along with several other union-related boards within my local organization and International Association for the Ironworkers, along with the Duluth and Superior Building Trades.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we open it up for questions from the council?
I would just like to close with, if given the opportunity, I'm hopeful to share my experiences as a port board member and as we grow our port and region, creating opportunities for all.
Thank you. Councilors? President Randorf.
Thank you, Chair Timonic. Thank you, Mr. Musa, for applying. I know when we connected before on this, you have a limited bandwidth as far as time, and so dedicating some time to this is excellent. So thank you for your service. I have a two-part question,
yeah.
And that is, as a county commissioner, we know we already have two commissioners that sit on the Port Authority. What do you think the benefits of having a third would be, and what are the challenges of having a third?
My personal vision, I would sit on the Port Authority as a union ironworker with an ironworker hat on. The challenge would be to not have folks think that there are three there for a reason. As we all wear different hats in the communities, I believe it's important to stay your role, and that would be as a labor leader.
Thank you.
That was my question also. Councilors? Okay, thank you very much.
I have one more. Oop, yep. I thought these two would have one. Okay, I have one more. With your experience, how do you think a board member supports the executive director as well as the entire organization? How do you influence that as a board member?
The influence our experiences, right? As we all navigate many boards, we deal with budgets and finances and economics with growth, and I know that the port sees a lot of imports and exports that I've talked about, and as the board collaborates to help support their director on a path and a vision to keep budget and still expand and create opportunities, I think that I have some tools to help that scenario in working with the folks that are already there in a team to help collaborate and keep growing the port, to keep it sustainable. And my vision everywhere I go is to make it accessible for all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do you have any other questions?
No, but one second. As you know, Mr. Musoff, we have had another person apply for this position, and that person will come up for a vote on Monday. Mm-hmm. As the clerk knows, we have, when we have an interview on a night such as tonight, we don't have that person's name on the agenda until the following agenda session. So it may be that this does not come up for a vote this time. I do know that there will be another opening in October, and we would suggest that you apply at that time if you are not elected this time. President Randorf and I are working on the personnel committee and how this process works. We followed the procedure that's been in place for a very long time. This is how we've always done it. We see that there may be ways to improve that process, so we will be working on that in the future.
I appreciate your comments. There are no fingers pointed through the process. The glass is always half full, and that's why I'm present tonight. So I thank you. Thank you for the time.
One more question. Councillor Kennedy?
Thank you, Vice President Timonic. I may have a question for staff. Since Mr. Mousaf has already interviewed, would he have to interview again for another position that's opening?
Chair Randorf, Councillor Kennedy, the standard practice has been prior to appointments to interview. So I think we would defer a bit to the chair of the personnel committee for if there is another opening and someone were to apply that had interviewed within a month or two, I think we would defer to you all how you'd like to handle that.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I just have one, maybe a comment. For process, it may behoove us to, if Mr. Mousaf would be interested when that position comes up, to just open it up to other applicants and not have him have to come back again.
Right.
Which would make sense. But that would be up to you, Chair Tominic, and maybe you could, if Mr. Mousaf is interested, if he doesn't come up this time, if he's interested in the next one, staff could maybe reach out to him and ask him what he would prefer. I'm just trying to make it easier on you if it doesn't work out this time, that we know an opening's coming up and we're hoping and assuming you're going to apply. And just so you don't have to come back and have a whole nother interview. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you, Councillor Kennedy.
I don't know if I have a question. Was that a question?
Did you want to respond to that?
I thank you, Councillor Kennedy. Councillors, I am comfortable with whatever is required. This is a position I've sought since 2018, so it's something I'm serious about, and we'll do what we have to do. So I appreciate that.
Sounds great. Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
So have you applied before then in the past?
Councillor Kennedy, councillors, I was advised not to apply in 2019 for their appointment by then the current mayor, and that is where that ended. I worked with the mayor and some building trades folks to then get Mr. Tyrone Walker placed on the board at that time.
I appreciate that openness and transparency. Thank you.
Did you
have another question?
No, sorry.
Councillor Nephew, I know you just got here. We had an interview with Mr. Mousaf. Do you have any questions?
No, I have the application.
And I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you for coming for your interview.
Thank you all for your time.
We have a couple councillors out, and we're starting off with Councillor Durwalkers. So I'll go ahead. Does someone want to read that, or do you want me to read it?
Go ahead.
All right. Item two is a resolution approving the temporary expansion of the designated serving areas associated with the on-sale intoxicating liquor licenses of various licensees. Number three, a resolution approving issuance of a temporary on-sale liquor license to the various licensees. Number four, a resolution authorizing an amendment to an agreement L30559 with Tyler Technologies, Inc. for a comprehensive community development and business management software system for an increase of $8,700 and a new amount of $727,111. Item five, a resolution approving the issuance of a lawful gambling premises permit to the Lake Superior Steelhead Association. Item six, a resolution approving issuance of a temporary on-sale liquor license to various licensees. Any questions on items two through six? Seeing none, we'll move on. Vice President Tomanek.
Thank you, President Randorf. Resolution 667, approving proposed specifications for the new civil service classification of life safety supervisor and specifying contract benefits for same. Resolution 669, approving proposed amendments to the specification for the existing civil service classification of water lab chemist, including a title change to water quality compliance officer and specifying contract benefits for same. Resolution 671, approving proposed specifications for the new civil service classification of senior police data operations an administrative analyst and specifying contract benefits for same. Resolution 672, approving proposed specifications for the new civil service classification of senior police compliance and records administrator and specifying contract benefits for same. Resolution 675, resolution confirming the appointment of Jerome Johnson to the Seaway Port Authority of Duluth. Resolution 676, confirming the appointment of Maya Mackey to the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center Authority. Resolution 677, approving proposed amendments to the specifications for the existing civil service classification of street maintenance operations coordinator. Resolution 690, confirming the appointment of Adam McGill to the Duluth Transit Authority.
Thank you, Vice President Tomanek. Any questions on 7 through 14? Seeing none, we'll move on. Planning and Economic Development, Councillor Nephew.
Thank you. Item 15, Resolution 670, resolution authorizing the execution and recordation and a declaration affecting a portion of 6th Avenue East and nearby alley being constructed or improved as part of the Regional Exchange District. Item 16, Resolution 678, resolution authorizing the proper city officials to execute an addendum to the sub-recipient funding agreement with Lifehouse to provide the employment and training services funding through the Minnesota Department of Human Services Youth Prize Homeless Youth Stipend Plot Program to add standards state contract provisions. Item 17, Resolution 679, resolution authorizing the proper city officials to execute an addendum to the grant agreement with Youth Prize to provide employment and training services funded through the Minnesota Department of Human Services to add standard state contract provisions. Item 18, Resolution 685, resolution authorizing an agreement with the Housing and Redevelopment Authority of Duluth to share the cost of a senior housing developer position, coordinated housing development services, and accept reimbursement from the HRA for 50% of the city's payroll and benefit expenses for the position. Item 19, Resolution 687, resolution regarding the support of a job creation fund application in connection with Sofidel America. Item 20, Resolution 688, resolution supporting the application of Sofidel America Corp to deed for a Minnesota Investment Fund grant rebate of up to $3.1 million.
Thank you, Councillor Nephew. Any questions on 15 through 20? Councillor Forsman.
Thank you, President Randorf. I'm going to ask the comments to not be super long because this might be a short agenda session for a change. But I also don't want to let him off the hook on this last agenda session entirely. So 687 and 688, Director Ronchetti, I was wondering if you could just give us quick background on what Sofidel's doing here.
None other than a hard time. on my final agenda session, so I appreciate that very much. Sofa Del America, they are the entity, the global entity that has acquired the paper mill in Duluth. They came in with very grand plans. They are expected to put in a converting facility, turning the jumbo rolls that they currently produce into consumer size rolls, adding 11 lines, converting to things like toilet paper, consumer size toilet paper, bifold towels, those kinds of things. So in addition to having the conversion, they also need warehousing space. So they are looking to build a fully automated 21st century warehousing space that is going to be very tall with a lot of racking to store all of the converted paper. Resolutions before you speak to about $180 million worth of investment. They are now pushing closer to $250 to $300 million worth of investment, so that number continues to go up. And they're saying 160 jobs, which would bring them close to what Versa was pre-pandemic. There will likely be more than 160 jobs as well. The council needs to, I'm gonna just drag these comments out because I know you wanted a long agenda session. These are required by the state for the city to authorize, the city council to authorize our application to the state for the MIF, but also it's a support by city council for the applicant's application for the JCF, the Job Creation Fund.
Nice. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Happy to ramble on.
Excellent. Any other questions? 15 through 20. Good work. Seeing none. We're on Public Works and Utilities. I'll read in. Oh, good. Councillor Mayo, right on cue. Item 21.
All right. Thank you, President Randorf. Item 21, Resolution 644. Authorizing an agreement with St. Louis County for the 2025 chip seal project at various locations in the city of Duluth. Item 22, Resolution 660, authorizing sole source purchase of water meter parts from Badger Meter Incorporated in the amount of $152,119.42. Item 23, Resolution 681, authorizing an agreement with Northland Consulting Engineers LLP for engineering services for water main design services for an amount not to exceed $59,450. Item 24, Resolution 682, authorizing an agreement with Cirrus Design Corporation to accept reimbursement for cost of constructing a rectangular rapid flashing beacon system along Airport Road in the amount of $55,000. Item 25, Resolution 683, authorizing an agreement with LHB Incorporated for professional engineering services for the Lakewood Building Repairs Project in the amount of $50,820. And item 26, Resolution 684, authorizing an agreement with MSA Professional Services Incorporated to provide engineering services for the Lift Station 27, 40, and 3 rehab project in the amount of $180,446.
Thank you so much, Councillor Mayo. Questions 21 through 27. Seeing none, we're on Recreation, Libraries, and Authorities. I'll read in for Councillor Owl. Item 27 is a resolution authorizing an agreement with EPC Engineering and Testing for professional geotechnical and material testing services for Duluth Lakewalk Project in the amount not to exceed $99,234. Any questions on that item? Seeing none, final item, Public Works and Utilities, Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, President Randorf. Item 28, Ordinance 40 is an ordinance dedicating a perpetual easement for street purposes over city-owned property.
Questions on item 28? Seeing none, that's the end of our agenda session. Just a quick announcement. Fast and furiously, our council calendar has been being populated, so you'll be seeing we've got finance stuff coming up. We have a COW that's been scheduled now for next Monday. That starts at 6:15, so if you can be there, that would be great. That one's our encampment and triage issues that we're facing and challenges. Any other announcements, Vice President?
Maybe it's just about the retreat on September 13th.
Yes, and we're not calling that a retreat anymore. We're actually calling that a 2025 budget presentations, which is great. More like what it is, because there's no drinking or dancing at this particular event. So yes, this is a total budget. They're called budget presentations. Mr. Johnson's going to be switching that on the calendar because it's not really a retreat. Yeah, it's one after another, full-on budget presentations. And that's the 13th Spirit Mountain Chalet, the Grand Chalet, starting at, I believe, 8:30.
The upper chalet or the lower?
Grand Ave.
Lower, yeah.
Lower. Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant Grand Chalet.
Oh, yeah, the Grand Ave.
That's not very
good. Yeah, Councillor Kennedy.
So it sounds like we will do our budget non-retreat, but the community will still have the open finance committee presentations, correct?
That's they what have saying. Access to that meeting, correct, Mr. Johnson?
We will be able to record the meeting. However, I've been advised we won't have the technical capacity to live stream it. So it will be open to the public. We will provide public notice that we published in advance. The public can attend in person, but otherwise they will need to view the recordings afterwards.
Perfect. Thank you.
As I see on the agenda, though, there are finance committee meetings.
Yeah, those are non-core budget. Those are things that are not on. Yeah.
Okay, so there will not be any other committee meetings for the budget that the community can come to, except for the non-retreat we have.
The full day will be for general fund. That's everything, all of our departments, all nine of them. And the other ones you're seeing, those are outside of the general fund, including capital, which is outside of our general fund. That is in there as well. So those are separate meetings you'll see on the calendar starting in September, peppering through, just like we did before.
Okay.
And I think there's about six of those. But before we had, 15 meetings throughout, all the way up to December. This one is we'll have a lot more time to digest general fund stuff.
So are we able to make sure that's clearly identified on the website so the community doesn't get confused? Because I feel like I'm still a little confused, but I can be okay with that.
I'm sorry, Councillor, could you repeat that, please?
I just want to be sure there's full transparency and understanding that this non-retreat and the other committee, finance committee meetings will be happening in a way that the community understands, because they've been used to the other process for how many years? And when we change a process and we're not clear about that, we're gonna get some calls. So it would be nice to have some clear understanding on the website, laying it out for community members.
Councillor, I can certainly add additional information to try and clarify further. Open to any suggestions furthermore, but we're posting notes and doing what we can to be as transparent as possible, but I'm certainly willing to go above and beyond if however directed.
So I can certainly take a look at the website and see if I can, if it looks like, okay, yeah, I can figure this out. Who is our finance chair?
You're sitting right next to him.
Can we work together a little bit? The staff. It's not a heavy lift.
Yeah, and President Randorf, Councillor Kennedy, I think we also will have the mayor's budget presentation before the Monday meeting in advance of that Friday meeting, where we'll then dive into all of the department presentations that roll back up to what his overall levy is going to be. So I feel like there's still going to be some touch points for the public to be able to come and talk about the property tax increase, which is probably the thing that they're most attuned to, and then those that want to dive deeper and have thoughts on whether we should be doing this or that. There'll be a couple opportunities for that too.
Thank you, Councillor Forsman. Any other comments? Councillor Forsman, you had your okay. Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, President Randorf. And I was just going to suggest maybe we could enumerate on the website or wherever it would be best all of the presentations we're going to receive that day, so that we kind of know like what the scope is going to be, maybe if that would help, Councillor Kennedy. And we could say like the general fund, and then you could go through and say each of the separate people that'll be presenting to us, kind of a thing. I would say prior to, so people know to come, because there could be, I don't know how detailed you want to get. You could put a schedule on there of like what order they're going in.
So are you saying right here, Councillor Mayo, on the 13th,
yeah,
it'll say budget meetings, Grand Avenue, Chalet, Spirit Mountain, boom,
and then divide it into
executive
a schedule,
planning,
yeah,
so on.
Just a suggestion. I don't know.
List the 9 departments.
I'm sure we can accommodate in some manner.
Okay. Perfect.
I'll be checking the website.
Any other questions?
Just to help.
All right, thanks, guys.
I'm just glad it's on the 6th.
Perfect.